This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
...the Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Yes, we are.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. You can even listen to it on TuneIn Radio.
Or you can go to the website.
That's when I said, visit us at friendjeff.com. They should know that.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, of course not. So, Jeffrey, today,
right now,
people need to run or bike or drive down to Reed Park.
Close.
Ramada number one, PyCorps Charitable Foundation is having a pancake breakfast.
Whoa.
So for all the gluten-free folks down there, too bad for you. For everyone else,
yeah.
Yeah, pancakes.
Strap on the feed bag.
PyCorps serving them up, and they serve what they call probably about a couple dozen children's organizations that they provide funds for, and 100% of the money they raise today is going to all those programs. So go out and support local kids and have some pancakes.
Sweet.
Today, I don't know what time this is, but it's...
it's about, 7 minutes after 11?
Yeah, something like that. But today, at some point at the Rialto Theater, the last film of the Tucson Film and Music Festival will be played. It's called Heaven Adores You. It's a documentary film about the life and music of singer-songwriter Elliot Smith, who passed away in 2003, and it should be quite phenomenal. So... head over to the Rialto Theater.
Wait, you know, when you bring up the Rialto, did you see that link I sent you earlier in the week?
Yeah, apparently Club Congress and the Rialto Theater are top... is it top 20 or top 10?
Top 10.
Top
10,
yeah. Top 10.
I think one's like number 5 and one's number...
they're together, 4 and 5.
4 and 5, yeah.
They are the top venues to go and watch live music.
College music, yeah, venues. Unbelievable.
So, and it's according to a bunch of drunk guys, so who knows?
I mean, But 20 great college town music venues.
Yeah, I thought it was 20.
20 great, and it's from greatvaluescollege.net. So there might be a bunch of drunk guys, but still.
Yeah, that sounds like...
super cool, man.
That sounds like a front for a fraternity.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not really.
And, I mean, you're talking about the 40 Watt Club in... at the University of Georgia,
you act like you know what these places are.
At the University of Colorado.
You act like you know where these places are.
It's not that I know where they are. It's just that I can read and look at pictures.
Well,
and
okay.
Wish.
And that helps.
And wish that I was there.
Yeah. Okay. So back to reality,
the Bowery
Jeff.
Ballroom. That's cool.
So October 21st, that's coming up.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Deschutes Brewery. Has this contest for people to create the most inventive beer dispenser for their beers. And the unveiling is going to occur on Tuesday, October 21st at Maker House. Huge party coming up. I imagine there'll be beer samples if you are of age. And if you have a cool uncle, they could probably sneak you some samples too.
If you have a cool uncle?
Yeah. Or aunt or something.
A cool uncle? What is that, a reference to underage drinking?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Man,
also coming up, so the middle of this month, you know, we just finished.
Oh, and we were wrong. It wasn't the Fox. It was Rialto and Club Congress. Is that what you said?
I said Rialto and Club Congress.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm listening to you.
There was a Fox Theater on that list, but it was...
yeah, but it was in another state.
Yeah, California or something.
Rialto's number 4 and Club Congress is number 5.
Yeah, so... we just finished a run of Vanya and Sonia and Masha and
By
Spike.
The way, I saw it.
Did you really?
I did.
You lying?
I went and saw it with Tiana, my lovely wife, and it was very, very, very funny.
It was hysterical.
It really was.
And there was, like, you know, we had David Ira Goldstein on, who is the artistic director for ATC.
Right. If you missed that episode, just head to the website.
And we talked about some of the Easter eggs that were in that. For people who know Chekhov, there were some really some gems in there. But the play that, that David is actually directing coming up mid-October in a couple, in a week, is Wait Until Dark, which is a thriller that's going to be pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Last couple things, Jeff. The end of this month, October 26th, is the Monster Mash and 5K Dash for cystic fibrosis.
That's right.
And that's going to be down at General Benz on University Boulevard.
Correct.
And let's see what else.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of races. There's all kinds of October seems to be the month of races here in the Old Pueblo. So not only do you have the Mainers, that you have that all the time, but you've also got the Monster Mash. You've got the Great Pumpkin Run. There's all kinds of ways and reasons to get outside and get fit and have fun with your neighbors. So get out there and lose some of that weight before you pack it all back on for Halloween and Thanksgiving and the rest of the season.
Yeah, things to get ready for, too. The All Souls Procession is coming up.
Oh, yeah, they started the classes.
Yeah, we had Michael Wells on about a month ago, and they are having classes. If you want to build a costume, build a head, have a mask, create an altar, face painting instructions, how to do all that stuff, check out, go to friendjeff.com and go to the, it was last month's downtown show.
Right.
When we were talking to Michael about the things he's doing, and we'll just put a link up
I
there.
I think it was August's downtown show.
September.
Well, are you sure?
Yeah.
Because we haven't had the August downtown show yet, or the October.
Yeah, we
downtown.
Did.
Do you? Was that last week?
Yeah.
Earth calling Jeff.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, that was our first show at St. Cecilia.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So, folks, this week's calendar, like all of our calendars, is brought to you by Tucson Happening Magazine. Check it out for all the fun stuff that's going on here in the Old Pueblo. And don't forget, if you've got something that you're going to do, send it to them because they'll publish it. And if you're looking for something to do, family-friendly, check out the Tucson Happenings magazine. If you subscribe to the Friend Jeff Show newsletter, we've got a whole list of where you can pick up your free copy or go to their website, TucsonHappenings.com. What else you got, Fred?
Well, we have Pete Swan, who's here from, he's actually the band leader of one of, I guess, most popular dance bands in the community, Big Band Express.
I'd say more than dance, but we try to dance as well, but
Big Swing band.
But also like contemporary big band music too.
Well, you guys were with that 4th of July shindig, right? You guys are in that?
We come up from the pit. And
yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, you guys are awesome.
But I've been running the band for about the last 2 years. Big Band Express has been in existence for about 20 years. So I've been trying to combine and keep the dance quality to it when we need to, but also doing things like we did a concert last spring with Mike Crotty, who did arranging for Dizzy Gillespie, things like that.
Very fun.
You know, more contemporary stuff as well.
Super fun. So what do you guys got cooking now?
Well, right now, what I'm here to do is to plug in a fundraising event for Arts Express, which is an organization that's been put together to create opportunities for kids in the Southern Arizona region through an experience with the arts. And they have lots of different programs like Let Freedom Sing, the one you're talking about in July.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great program.
Yeah, that's a lot of great things that involve a lot of people. And their idea of the organization is to create a broad range of artistic events that people can go to, but especially geared towards encouraging young people to get involved with the arts through different kinds of performance opportunities. And the event that we're doing on the 25th is kind of a combination to celebrate. I'm merging Big Band Express with Arts Express. They just happen to have the last same express in it. That's by accident.
Now, this is a one-time only thing, or this is permanent?
This is going to be we're doing a merger for a year too, because it's something new, but it's something different to be able to take the big band, which I've been running, and you know, take the opportunity to have access to the nonprofit aspect of it, to see if we can look for corporate sponsorships, but also to really give us a better opportunity to serve the community educationally and performance wise. Big Band Express is really, it's a younger group of musicians now, but some of really the top jazz musicians anywhere. There's guys from the Airmen of Note in it, to the lead trumpet player, some very talented people. So we want to, my goal is just to get the band out performing as much as possible. This event on the 25th is a, as I said, a fundraiser for Arts Express educational programs. And it's at Weston La Paloma from 5 to 8. And it's going to have the big band. Also performing with us will be Crystal Stark, a good friend, who was one of the top runner-ups on American Idol.
Very fun.
And she was on the went out and performed with Catherine McPhee, and she's got her own career as a singer that's very prestigious. But she sang with the big band on many occasions, so we're excited to have her there that night. But we're also going to have a number of student high school kids, and actually a couple of kids from below that are very talented, that will be performing some songs with the big band. So we're excited about getting people out for it. So first off is to say you can, you know, go to Arts Express to find out about buying tickets. They have a website where you can purchase that. But some of the details are tickets right now are $55 a person or $300 for a table of six. They're going to have some special things to make it, you know, interesting for people besides the great music and the performances. There's going to be a 50-50 raffle and the sale of mystery boxes, which I'm not sure. I know that sounds a little scary, but these boxes will contain like gift certificates and merchandise worth at least $25 and will be sold for $25.
Oh,
so you can't
fun.
Lose.
Yeah.
Some of them will contain, though, higher value prizes, such as an overnight hotel stay or a massage. We're going to be serving scrumptious hors d'oeuvres.
And you made that up.
No, I didn't. Well, actually, I just read it.
Uh-huh.
And the evening will be capped off with a presentation of the swinging and singing, where we're going to have the big band performing, Crystal performing with the big band, and then also some of these really talented young people performing as well.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. And it's at La Paloma.
It's at La Paloma, Weston La Paloma.
On the 25th.
25th, Saturday, October 25th.
Starts
from
five o'clock
and ends at 8.
5 to 8. So it is a family-friendly event?
Totally family-friendly.
Excellent.
It'd be great. You know, a great opportunity. La Paloma got recently remodeled in the last couple of years. It's a beautiful space.
Absolutely.
It'll be like, I can say, world-class music for an evening of...
Is this all indoors?
This will be inside, yeah, one of the ballrooms.
So it'll sound great.
Yeah.
All right. Now, any big sponsors you want to say gracias to?
For this event right now, let me see. I've got, because the big thing will be Arts Express and what they're doing. The important thing is that, being a musician and producer myself, is that for people in the community to realize that anything that the other people that will be talking about their events in Tucson will be that people need to go out and support events to have the kind of rich artistic community that we've come to really appreciate in Tucson.
Awesome. Awesome. So more tickets, or for ticket info, go to...
You want to go to artsexpress.com.
Artsexpress.com. All right.
Hey, okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Thanks
for the
time.
Good luck. Have a great time.
Thank you.
All right, folks. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more here on The Friend Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful,
Jeffrey. That's exactly right, Fred.
You know, before the break, we were talking about all the stuff going on in Tucson. We had a conversation with Pete Swan, who's the band leader of Big Band Express, talking about an art express.
Dude, have you ever seen Big Band Express perform?
A million times.
Yeah, they are outstanding.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. Actually, used to sing in church choir with the old band leader. Kalen. I can't remember his last name.
I remember when you used to do that. That was good times.
Yeah, a long time ago. And then
there was some serious down by the river.
No. there was a saxophonist.
Saxophone?
He played saxophone. And I've known a bunch of the musicians. They're good guys, all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Make good sounds.
One of the things that we talked about in the past, though, is The Sax Man, which was a movie premiered here in Tucson at the Arizona International Film Festival. And they're trying to get their movie distributed out to people, actually put on Netflix. And this is their challenge. They need to raise money to pay for the music license.
Is this a Kickstarter deal?
I don't know if it's Kickstarter exactly, but if you go to Sax manmovie.com, and we'll have the link up at friendjeff.com. They're trying to raise money so they can get their movie out on Netflix. And this is, if you like documentaries, if you like music, this is just a phenomenal movie to go see and support. So go to saxmanmovie.com and see how you can support getting that film up on Netflix.
Cool.
So other things we like supporting in this grand community of ours is the Valley of the Moon.
Outstanding venue.
Yeah, and this year they have another, I don't think they would call it a Halloween offering. I would, though. But during the season of All Hallows Eve, they have Harry Potter and the Haunted Ruins. And with
Harry
us
Potter,
today,
Mr. Potter,
we have Kimberly Swanson, who's the director, Markley Swanson, who's the assistant director. I think there's some kind of nepotism going on.
Uh-oh.
There. And
we don't frown on that here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Yeah, none whatsoever. And then Will
McConaughey. Can never spell that right, so.
Okay.
Saying your last name reminds me of that old Key and Peele episode of The Substitute Teacher. Have you seen that one?
No.
Where you got to go down to Oshak Hennessy's office.
And hope you say it right.
You got to check it out. It's on YouTube. So how are things at Valley of the Moon?
Oh, wonderful. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about all the cool things that are happening over there.
Oh, geez. Well, for one thing, we've got a lot of renovations going on. You know, Valley of the Moon's quite an older place, and a lot of it needs to be updated. And we've just put in, because of a large donation, we've just put in ADA-compliant paths so that people in wheelchairs and people who are handicapped can get around much easier, because it used to be a big problem.
Nice.
And they look great.
They're decomposed granite, and so it looks like gravel, it looks like dirt, but it's not. It's hard cement that a wheelchair can be rolled on.
Wonderful. All right, good for you guys.
Yeah, new electrical, which is good. It used to be a little haphazard for a couple of years, so all new electric, so we're all up to code on that one.
And a brand new parking light that's a work of art.
Yeah, so you don't have to be sitting in the dark like normal when you go into the parking lot.
All right, or when you're hanging out with all the folks waiting to come in, you've got a little light to...
We've got even a more special surprise for all the folks waiting to get in.
Yeah.
And that is...
Well, should it stay a surprise?
Should it stay a surprise?
No, it's Diagon Alley.
It's on the flyers, so.
So that's the new show. Tell us about it.
Let's see.
Harry Potter and the Haunted Ruins. You buy a ticket to go on the Hogwarts Express. You will go through Platform 9 3/4. But before you do, we ask that you visit Ollivander's Wand Shop, and Mr. Ollivander is with us to get your free wand.
That's right. So we have, you know, instead of waiting around in the parking lot for a half hour for your tour to start... This time you can.
Which, okay, that was fine. It was cool out there, and the kids were running around.
Yeah,
and
you meet a lot of good people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's excited to go in.
Same
but you've
thing.
Enhanced the experience.
We did. We have a couple of things we've got going on. We have Ollivander's Wand Shop. I am Ollivander. You'll get one free wand with your ticket, so that's pretty cool. We
also, do they work?
Of course.
They're magic wands. Of course they work.
You
nice.
Can have the opportunity to decorate them as well.
Yes.
Oh, very fun. Very fun.
We'll have the sorting hat. We'll have magic readers. We'll have the food trucks. We'll have balloon doers, magicians doing magic tricks. It's a huge party in the parking lot. I'm sad I'm in the show. I have to not be in the parking lot.
Oh, that's super fun. So, and you guys just kicked this off this week, or last week, didn't you?
Oh, we started Friday, but the show goes on again tonight. From 6 o'clock, the gates will open at 5:30. Diagon Alley will itself open at 5:30. And then the show will start at 6 and run about every 20 minutes. We start another tour. So it continually runs until 8, 20.
So for those of you folks out there that don't know the Valley of the Moon, they are walking shows.
Yes.
You get a tour guide, and that tour guide takes you all the way through the adventure of the valley. And in doing so, you get to, you're regaled by wonders of whatever your guys' imaginations come up with.
Well, this year you will actually go to Hogwarts and spend one day in the classes with a prefect guiding you through your different classes.
Very fun. All right. All right. That sounds great. How much does it cost to get in?
Is it $10?
$10. Tickets are $10. Children 15 and under are free.
No kidding.
No kidding.
All right. So 15 and under, no charge. Adults, $10. Super
and it's
fun.
Well worth it.
Well worth it. Oh, yeah. Now, how long does the show go for?
What, 45 minutes?
October 30th. We run Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. And then the last week, Halloween week, we'll take off Monday and run Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
And for more information, go where?
323-1331 or our website.
TucsonValleyOfTheMoon.com.
TucsonValleyOfTheMoon.com.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great show. Absolutely. Break a leg.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we got a lot more here, so stick around for more on The Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Frederico.
And we invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes, check us out on TuneIn Radio, subscribe to the newsletter, all these kind of things.
Like
can
us
be found
on Facebook, you already said that. I said, follow Fred's tweet. When was the last time you tweeted?
Oh, about... Let's see, who was president?
Yes, exactly.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we do have a Twitter account, but if, you know.
Yeah, so if actually people who, people will mention us in their Twitter.
Yeah.
Or in their tweets.
Yeah.
And that comes up on our feed, so.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
So lots of people.
So please mention us so we get some Twitter activity. Because
that's exactly
we're
right.
Not good tweeters.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, last week's trivia question. Oh, man.
What was the trivia question?
What's your favorite haunted movie?
Yeah.
The phone calls to the Fred Jeff phone line were hilarious. Hilarious. So get your finger ready to dial the number this week because we got lots of fun stuff to give away on this week's show as well.
Do you remember what the number is?
It's 520-something-something-something-something-something.
Yeah, it's 520-428.
5104.
So get ready to do something with that.
Yeah, because you'll get something from Pita Jungle or 1702 or Finney's
or
Landing.
Gloss Studio.
Or Gloss Studio. Hey, Gloss Studio, they're a new sponsor. God love them. Our little cousin Tommy Malashevsky.
Thomas.
Goes by Thomas now because he's, you know.
He's a big time. He's a big star.
Yeah, big time business owner. He gave us a $150 gift certificate for a cut and color. And that's not going to work for you and me, so we're giving it away. So get your
maybe
get
we'll
your
give that away.
Right. Yeah, we'll give
we
that
should,
away.
We should give that away with some roses. So if some guy wants to give his wife a little treat.
Is that something you give to your wife? Here, honey, get a cut and color on me.
When you go to those, what do they call them, studios?
Yeah.
You know, hair studios?
Yeah, yeah.
Salons?
Yeah.
It's an experience. It's like, you know, sort of like quasi-spa day thing.
Well, that's what Gloss is all about, too. I mean, their space over on Pima is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, dude, I'm a haircut guy. I need a straight razor and a buzzsaw. And then it just grows back.
I just need a razor in the shower. I'm done.
Yeah, and some shaving cream.
I just use soap.
There you go.
Straight up.
Wow.
Zest.
And cold water.
I'm a zest kid.
So.
What?
We got a great rest of the show right now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if we have anything missed anything, because we have so many people calling us up wanting us to talk about all the stuff going on. Oh, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be down in Bisbee.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the thing. The first week of November in Bisbee is their first ever annual film festival. Well, we hope annual, but it's being put on by the mayor of Bisbee.
Is he got home movies
she,
in his show?
And
she?
I have no idea.
Now, this is when I went to Italy. See that?
Slideshow?
Yeah.
PowerPoint?
Remember that? We were kids.
Yeah.
We'd
yeah,
go
Grandpa Ronstadt was great.
He had 9 billion of those carousels.
Yeah, but they're all awesome.
They were.
No, but so they're going to have their first ever film festival in Bisbee. So we're going to be down there talking to some characters.
Well, and next week we got Yvonne Irvin and the Tucson Jazz Festival crew coming in to tell us all about the new jazz festival, bringing some musical accompaniment.
Right.
And then November is the whole month of happiness.
You scheduled like a billion people to be in this room.
Next week?
Yeah, for the jazz thing.
It'll be awesome.
Somebody's going to bring a harp and or a keyboard.
Yeah, and trumpets and guitars and a juice harp and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, I think we need to get this cleared by somebody.
Hey, Jim, can we do it? Thank you. Okay, we're clear. But let's talk about this week.
All right, what is this week?
Starting this coming Wednesday, the Downtown Lecture Series.
I don't like being lectured.
Well, this is not being lectured by mom and dad. This is
Theater. The nuns used to lecture me.
For good reason.
Before they beat me with the rulers.
Yes, I remember that. I remember how much fun we had watching that. But Downtown Lecture Series at the Fox Theater, this year's topic, Fred, oh brother of mine, from the College of Social and Behavioral Sciences, is food. Something you and I are very passionate about. We like to smell it. We like to look at it. We like to eat it.
I like to cook it.
Like to cook it.
I have
we like to think about it.
Chef chops.
We like to tell stories about it. Food.
Food is very famous. You know, I know this this guy's his name may not be all that popular, but I think enough time has gone by. There's a guy on PBS called Jeff Smith, the Frugal Gourmet, and he always used to talk about, you know, the table as sort of like the family altar in a sense. And you learn about culture, you learn about family, you learn how to create relationships, and it all happens at the table.
I agree with that.
And now, you know, that
having
was
having sitting down at the table with the family every single day is where I get to catch up with the kids, where Tiana and I get to catch up. It's a great thing. And so in the studio with us today is Associate Professor of the School of Anthropology at the University of Arizona, Emma Blake. Hi, Emma.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Emma, you a PhD?
Yes.
You're a doctor? So do we need to refer to you as Dr. Blake?
Well, no, Emma will do. Yes, please.
We'll call you Dr. Emma.
Dr. Emma Blake here on the Fred and Jeff Show. So what School of Anthropology?
Yeah, that's where most archaeologists are housed in U.S. universities. Either that or they're in classics departments.
All right. And tell us the connection between archaeology and food.
Well, a lot of what we dig up, what we archaeologists dig up, are remnants of food, either food processing artifacts or bowls and dishes and implements that people use to consume food, or old animal bones and things like that. So I would say almost everything that we dig up, well, I shouldn't say almost everything, but a large portion of what we excavate, especially when we're looking at people in the distant past, relates to food somehow.
And how did you get fired up about archaeology when you were a kid?
Well, I'm a little embarrassed to tell this story, actually,
Remember, it's Fred and I and my mom and dad, our mom and dad. That's it.
Okay.
That's Jim, too. Jim's here, our producer. But, yeah, just the five of us.
Okay. And a few others. My grandfather lived in Las Vegas, and when I would go visit him from California, where I grew up, he would take me out in the desert, and we'd go pick up arrowheads and other artifacts that we found on the ground.
Sweet. That's illegal, isn't it?
Now, totally.
Well, okay, just so you know. Well, there's a level of comfort in the room that our grandfather was a amateur archaeologist, and he took us and did the same exact thing.
Over by St. Mary's Hospital.
Okay.
Before a lot of that stuff was built.
A lot of places.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the day.
That's what you did.
People did that, and there wasn't any sensitivity to, you know, the big picture kind of issues. And luckily, over time, those have developed, and now we know better.
It's true. And it was, you know, it seemed like, well, it's just on the surface and all that. Now we know that even surface finds, you can learn something about context, but those were in more innocent times. And actually, Las Vegas, kind of like Tucson, in the 70s was much smaller, and all those areas we used to go out are now developed, and they wouldn't have collected, that stuff would have been lost anyway in the building. That's what I say to myself anyway. But
well,
I wouldn't.
It's okay. We've forgiven ourselves for doing it. It's okay. You can do that.
Yeah, but you didn't go into the field, into the, you know, professionally take on this, you know, the mantle of archaeology.
That's because we didn't want to abuse ourselves for the rest of our lives.
The guilt.
So you're out with your grandpa, and you're finding all kinds of cool things as a kid. And that led you to say, gosh, I think this is my vocation.
Yes. It was so exciting. And through high school, I looked back and thought, oh, that was, you know, I loved it, but that's not a practical career. I've never met anybody who is a real archaeologist. It seems preposterous. But then in college, I thought, you know, I really did like it. And you only live once.
You saw Jurassic Park, right? And that was it.
Oh, major error. Jurassic Park, those are dinosaurs. Those are paleontologists excavate dinosaurs. I'm glad I could say this on the, we only excavate human societies, and they are much, they post-date.
Michael Crichton blew it?
I
can't believe it.
Yeah, no, archaeologists do not dig up dinosaurs.
Cool. So what university did you go to?
I went to Georgetown University as an undergrad, and then I did my PhD at Cambridge University in England.
Now, why in England? More cool things to dig up over there?
Well,
yeah, there are.
Yeah. I mean, they just found like King Edward's, Richard's bones. Yeah, I read that article. It was amazing.
That was awesome. Talking about food, they were able to reconstruct his diet based on the bones, the condition of the bones, the, you know, bone collagen and these different lab
analyses. Well, it's interesting about the food thing, because I remember when I was in junior high school, National Geographic had an article about an Asian woman who was, they found, and I can't remember the context, but they actually were able to pull out watermelon seeds, like her last meal.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And she was a mummy or some sort, way in Antarctica or something like
that. No, this was in Asia.
Was it in Asia?
And then, like, the pyramids, I know some of the Egyptian excavation, we were talking about food, is they found corn, and then actually they planted some of it and it grew. And this is like, you know, thousands of years old.
Doctors, do you recall any of this, or is Fred making this up?
No, well, it's certainly true. I don't remember the specific incidents, but it's certainly true that if soft tissues are preserved, which is pretty rare, but if you do have those lucky cases, either with in very dry environments like Egypt or, you know, waterlogged areas or frozen areas, then you can look at the gut contents of those preserved people, and you can see their last meal, and it's fascinating.
That's what awesome.
You could tell, like, just to have that, to pinpoint something that one short event, what they ate for, you know, their lap before they died, and thousands of years ago, it really brings the past alive.
Totally.
I think food is a great way of connecting us to the past, because we all eat, as you were saying, everybody's, you know, we're so passionate about food, and then it's sometimes the people thousands of years ago seem very removed from our world, but we can reach them through something as basic as food.
Cool. All right. So on that note, we have to take a super fast break. Folks, come back, because we have a ton more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
England swings like a pendulum do. Bobby's on bicycles 2x2. Westminster Abbey, the Tower of Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children. Now, if you huff and puff and you finally save enough money up to take your family on a trip across the sea, take a tip before you take your trip. Let me tell you where to go. Go to England, oh, England.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we've been talking to Emma Blake, who's associate professor at the University of Arizona School of Anthropology. And we were talking about food and anthropology and traveling around. And last the last point you were at was in Cambridge, digging up all the British stuff.
When you're doing your PhD, right?
That's right. But I did my fieldwork actually in Italy. By then, I didn't dig up any do any British archaeology. I mean, I was studying in Britain, but I would go to Italy for my fieldwork.
So you start in Georgetown, you head to Europe, mm-hmm. and what brings you to the Old Pueblo?
Well, I was happy to live in England for a number of years, but
where in England?
Well, in Cambridge, in
okay.
the yeah,
very fun.
But I was homesick for the States as an American, and so I was looking for jobs in the U.S. And I, after bouncing around at a few different postdoctoral positions, Stanford and UCLA and Michigan, I ended up getting a position here at the University of Arizona.
You could just say that you fell in love with the Old Pueblo, though, right?
Oh yes. Well, there's no question. It's Tucson. I'm sold on Tucson. It's a
That's
great,
awesome.
Great town.
All right. And so, give us an idea of what you're going to talk about in the lecture series. You kind of gave us a little itty bitty glimpse of it.
Well,
when
Jeff,
you're...
what lecture series?
The food lecture series, a downtown lecture series on food that's brought to us all by the College of Social and Behavioral Sciences. That kicks off this Wednesday at the Fox Theater at 6:30. Tickets are F-R-E-E, free, but it's first come, first serve basis. So you got to get down there. I know there's going to be overflow. And if folks want to get more, they should go to downtownlectures.arizona.edu. But, Emma, tell us about what you're going to be talking about. And you're actually not coming on until November 5th. You're the fourth of number five.
That's
so,
right.
And just folks, just to give you a heads up, this coming Wednesday, it's Changing Geographies of Food. Changing Geographies of Food. And who's the speaker?
Diana Liverman. She's a professor in the geography department at the U of A. And she's got a great talk where she's going to be looking at the global food system today, issues of food security, environmental sustainability, where we're at with feeding the world. So it's
cool.
big stuff.
That's
yeah.
big picture. And then we take it down local the next week, October 22nd, Tucson, City of Gastronomy, Hub of Food Diversity. That's going to be
right.
fun.
And that's Gary Nabhan, who runs Edible Baja Arizona. Who's
great magazine.
Uh-huh.
Love that magazine. And then October 29th, We Eat What We Are by friend of the show, Maribel.
Mm.
So that'll be fun. And of course, Tucson Meet Yourself is when's Tucson Meet Yourself happening? Isn't that coming up pretty quick?
Very quickly.
Yeah, we just had them on the show last week as well. And then you, November 5th, Edible Roman Empire. I've heard the Roman Empire defined lots of ways, but never edible.
Yeah. Well, I owe Edible Baja Arizona some thanks because I borrowed the name from them. I built the title from them. But I'm trying to do with the title to show that there's some relevance to what happened 2,000 years ago in our own lives, that we can draw some connections. It's not just an interesting sort of historical footnote that the Roman Empire ate such and such a way or did such and such a thing, but there's actually, we can maybe take some object lessons from what the Romans did right, what they did wrong, and apply them in our own case. So looking at the Roman Empire, what we see is they had a globalized food system like our own.
Now, when you say globalized food system, what does that mean? They had grocery stores that could roll down there and buy a loaf of bread?
Well, not quite. But I mean that it was in their world. So the scales are different, obviously. We're not talking about, you know, the Roman Empire only took up about it was big in its day, but we're only talking about 5% of the world's land mass was within the empire at its height. But within that world, it was incredibly interconnected, so that grain grown in Egypt was being shipped all the way to Rome. Fish sauce that was made in Portugal would end up in Britain. Foods were traveling everywhere. People were traveling everywhere. And food was being produced on an industrial scale, we can say. Even in this pre-modern times, there were these enormous, vast estates where the grain was being grown for export. And so there were lots of similarities with our world today. And what we see, you know, the good side is that there was increased food security. From what we can tell, nutrition levels, for the most part in the empire, improved under Roman rule. But, you know, there was some social costs as well. The loss of local foodways, which is something we worry about in Tucson, and
well,
we
yeah.
worry about all over the world, really, that with the global food system and fast food and so on, we're losing our local heritage. Same thing going on in the Roman Empire. And so I want to draw attention to some of those interesting comparisons and contrasts that we can make between those, that world and ours today.
It has got to blow your mind, or anyone that does what you do, when they're excavating a site and they find a food source that's from 1,000 miles away. And you wonder, how the heck did they preserve this food? Because, of course, transportation wasn't like it was back then today. Mm-hmm. So to get from 1,000 miles didn't take, you're not putting on a UPS flight. I mean, it took ships and horses, and it took a lot of manpower to move something that far. How do they preserve it from point A to point B?
A lot of salt.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, perishables would often be stored in salt, but things like the spices were already moving. So you find, I mean, not just 1,000 miles away, many thousands of miles away, we find black pepper in sites in Western Europe. That's coming from India, and these black peppercorns are making their way in this before refrigeration, before boats that are run on anything other than, you know, sails or,
sure,
or
wind power,
poor slaves.
And rowing, right.
Yeah.
And when you said something about a fish sauce.
Oh, yes. Okay, well,
I mean, that's got to be perishable regardless of how much salt you stick in it.
That the fish sauce, actually, they aimed for it to be perishable. What I mean by that is that this was a fermented fish sauce called garum. And they would let the fish rot in these big vats with a lot of salt over many, many weeks and months.
Sounds
and
delicious.
The smell, I mean, it must have been just unbelievable to our noses. But the Romans adored this stuff, and they would use it as a condiment, kind of like ketchup, in many, many sauces and in lots of foods, including desserts.
Really?
So they'd mix it in. So you'd have this, you know, you can imagine tasting this sweet dessert, but it would be sweetened with honey. But then there'd be this kind of underlying fishy taste as well to something like a custard, that kind of thing. Anyway, but they put it in a lot of regular food, you know, just main courses as well. And this garum was moving all over the empire. And actually at the U of A, one of the a professor, David Soren, is directing an excavations in Portugal of a very large garum production facility there. So we're starting to learn more about this, that interesting fish sauce.
And what's the one thing that is kind of just blown you away in your travels about the food, maybe the comparison between food today and food as it was in the Roman Empire?
I think the one thing that has struck me the most is that when I learned that the poor, the urban poor, not the abject poor, but the people who were sort of modest means, working class urban people in Roman cities, didn't cook for themselves ever. Because they're in the apartment buildings they lived, they didn't have kitchens in there because of the dangers of fire and things. So they would go out, they eat all their meals out in these from these snack bars. And it's much like the story we tell today of fast food being a source of, you know, so many calories in American diets. The same thing was true for much of the Roman populations as well. Fast food.
Fast food in the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And do you guys have a lot of the recipes? Do you understand how to recreate a lot of these foods?
We do. They didn't give quantities, but we do have recipes that include the ingredients, and then it's up to modern chefs to kind of
interpret.
So
what do you think the Romans had a better diet than we have today overall?
It's tough to say. I mean, obviously the food is not got, it's organic, everything's organic, everything's free range. So in that respect, it is better. But
actually back then it probably would have been organic and free range because there weren't
Well, that's
hormones.
What I mean. Everything that they ate was organic.
Yeah, right,
yeah,
right, yeah,
yeah. So right off the bat, we're dealing with you know, a healthier level. But the wealthy Romans ate pretty badly. The food was incredibly rich and heavy. That they favored that because those were the luxury foods. Lots of meats and the fattiest parts of meats and they seem to have indulged quite heavily in that. So I think that if you were a wealthy Roman, you probably were not eating as well as the equivalent wealthy person today who, you know, keeping it at that level anyway, to do the comparison, because we know a lot more about, you know, that you should eat vegetables and all that.
Oh,
kind
yeah.
of
and
stuff.
So, and wealthier people have the opportunity to go and buy that stuff as opposed to buying fast food.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, right. So this is going to be a great lecture series, downtown lecture series. Lots of folks to say thank you to. Folks, go to downtownlectures.arizona.edu or call 621-1112. Emma, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's
been
great.
Yeah, we're looking forward to your lecture.
Great. Hope to see you there.
All right. And Fred, what do you want to give away?
Let's give away a little spa day for, have some nice gentleman call in for their lady friend, a dozen roses from Muirfield Florists, and a
Cut and Color
over at Gloss
Studio. Worth $150
bucks,
yeah, at Gloss Studio on Pima. Phone number?
Our phone number? I gave out earlier.
520-5-something-something. Oh, Fred.
Go to FredandJeff.com.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Get out there and meet your neighbors. It's that time of year. It's nice and cool out there. Get out and meet your neighbors. Build some a community, and we will see you all here again next week on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Kids are starving in Japan, so eat it, just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate, don't wanna hear about...
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.